thank you for that good singing. Let's take prayer requests today. We want to be sure and pray for Brother and Sister Cox. They're sick and not able to be here today, so let's pray for them. Who else do we need to pray for? Any requests in the congregation this morning? Anyone? Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. What an answer to prayer that is. All right. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. All right. Thank the Lord. Yes, ma'am. Miss Jackie's sick. Let's continue to pray for her. And there's people already on their second lapse of this flu, some of them. So let's pray that God will give help, strength, and encourage people's hearts. Anybody else in the congregation? In the choir?
Yes, ma'am. Remember Miss Sandy and Miss Nancy will be having breast surgery in the next few weeks.
What? My sister-in-law is sick at home. They brought the hospice in.
Yeah. One of the girls at work, they was taken to the hospital yesterday. They admitted her this evening, so they took her
home. One of them got to get in the operation. Well, they probably would be able to find a job.
Pray for our country. All right. Unspoken request, raised hand. Lord knows all about it. Brother Bill, you lead us in prayer, please.
Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the day that we can be in thy house, Lord. We thank you for the pretty day outside, Lord. We thank you for the people. I pray that you'll bless your people today, Lord. We know each and every request we call you in this heart, Father, in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, dear Lord, for what you've done for us, Father. We're very many of you, Father, that's bragging on you today, dear Lord. We're thankful for that. We thank you that you do take care of us, even with your children, dear Lord. Pray that you'll bless both the pastors, the preachers, dear Father, and bless each and every one that's here today. We're going to listen to that word, dear Lord. We're thankful. We're going to give you the praise and honor all the world. In Christ's name.
Amen. You may be seated. Pray for the choir.
Thank you.
today. Let's take our hymn book and turn to hymn number 263. This is our fellowship song. We'll sing the first and the second, and then we'll fellowship, greet one another in the Lord. I'm looking to say nobody paid attention to what I said last week, did they? I thought we'd get some bottles of sanitizer over here, but y'all must not have gone to the grocery store. All right, so if you can, bring some, okay? Put that on your list, and let's, because we've got a lot of handshaking we got to do. Got to do that in the Baptist church. If you're gonna, you got to shake hands, you got to eat chicken. All right, two very important things. Let's stand, sing first and second, fellowship, and then come back on the last. For a little while. Ready? Here we go. Oh, be seated. Thank you so much for that good singing. All right, now, I think we got the jug out.
When old Satan comes to test you and tries to make you doubt, the Lord is there to take you by the hand. With His loving arms around you, He'll gently lead you out. He will comfort you and give you grace to stand. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by the wounds in His hands. When your world is crumbling round you, and you think that no one cares, and you feel that there's no use to carry on, just remember Jesus loves you, and He cares for His own, and He'll be standing there when other friends have gone. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. He's the only one who cares and understands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know Him by those wounds in His hands. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you will find Him, and you'll know
Turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Acts, the 9th chapter. Acts chapter 9, as we're going verse by verse through the book of Acts. I want to say while you're turning there, we so appreciate having Sister Ricketts and her beautiful daughters with us in the service this morning. And we appreciate that so much. I told her she's going to have to invest in a baseball bat because they're so pretty. They're going to be people knocking on the door soon and very soon. So I would surely invest in a baseball bat. I won't get on that other issue right now that's all over the country. Won't go on that one, but baseball bat's good enough. So you got to protect them. Like I told Jason when he wanted to ask for Bethany's hand in marriage, I said, don't forget, if I'm 75 years of age and I'm riding a hover around, I can still run you down. So, you know, you got to watch out for your kids, don't you? All right. Chapter 9, book of Acts. We're going to begin reading with verse number 32 down to the end of the chapter. And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber. All the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner. Now, my Father, I thank you for your love to us. I thank you for the privilege to be in the house of the Lord on this beautiful day. And we pray now that you'll bless and speak to our hearts and help us to leave this place encouraged in the Lord. And we pray if anybody here lost without the Lord Jesus, that the Holy Spirit may minister to hearts and that someone may come to know Christ if they never have been saved. And help all you who are Christians to walk a closer walk with you. And help us, Father, to just lean upon you for our help and strength. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I've read for you 2 stories or 2 accounts. We have seen in this chapter the Apostle Paul, how he got saved and God worked in his life. We talked about that last Sunday morning. But now the camera changes back to Peter. Peter is not washed up. Peter is not finished. We've just seen how that God has used Paul and getting ready to use Paul to present the gospel to the Gentiles. Peter, up to this point, has been presenting the gospel to the Jews. And we will see as we go into chapter 10 next time, we're going to see how the door was actually given to Peter to open the door to reach the Gentiles. And then when he opened the door, Paul stepped through. You remember, it's interesting that the Bible says that Peter was given the keys to the kingdom. And he did have 2 keys. Keys to open to the Jews, the keys to open to the Gentiles. So the ministry of Peter is much more important sometimes than we realize. And we should certainly give credit to the Lord for using this man of God in a mighty way. Now, in this, I want to show you
a contrast, a comparison and a contrast between these two people. One's name is Enos, the other's name is Dorcas. One is a man, one is a woman. Quickly, I will just share with you some of the differences, that being one of them. One is a man, one is a woman. And then when you look at the story of Enos, it's very short. It's only just a few verses, and you don't read much about him. But then when you get into the story of Dorcas, there's a lot there about her. So there's kind of a contrast there between the two. But I want to make a comparison between the two of them, and I want to give you four things about them. Four simple thoughts. Or if you will, if Brother Bill, there's a title for this sermon, the title would have to be Four Timeless Truths. Four Timeless Truths. The four truths I want to show you this morning work in every case, every situation of your life. These four things are prevalent. Let me give you the first one. Here's the first one. Principle number one, timeless truth number one, people have needs. Now, there isn't anything profound about what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to remind every one of us about some great things we need to be reminded of. And I don't care who you are, and I don't care where you live, and I don't care the circumstances of your life. The four things I'm going to show you this morning fit everybody. So, someone has said, and rightly so, that the book fits everybody, and it does. There isn't anything in this Bible that can't be an encouragement and a help to every one of us. Thank God for the Bible, the Word of God. Now, people have needs. What are their needs? Let's look at the need, first of all, of Enos. Enos is sick, all right? In verse number 33, he is a certain man. Now, I like this in verse 33. It says he is a certain man. Then I like the fact over in verse number 36 that there was a certain disciple named Tabitha. I've always liked the use of the adjective certain in the Bible because it means that God is not a God who pays simple attention to masses and nations. God cares about individuals. God cares about you. You say, well, I surely must get lost in this chaos of humanity. Not at all. Not at all. If my Bible says that God, the Lord Jesus, sees every single sparrow that falls to the ground. Not only that, but He knows every hair of our head that is numbered, and for some of us that doesn't take too long. But it's true. He is an individual God. He loves individuals. He loves people. And it's a certain man in verse 33. And then verse 36 is interesting because it doesn't say a certain woman. It says a certain disciple. Okay? If there's a contrast here, the contrast would be that maybe, can't prove it, but maybe Enos didn't walk with the Lord like Dorcas did. Okay? Now, God cares about everybody. God cares about our relationship with Him. God cares about whether or not we walk with Him and love Him. He cares about those things. Okay? For whatever reason there may be, though, we have a need for each one of these people. In the case of Enos, Enos was sick of the palsy and in bed for 8 years. It's a long time to be in the bed, isn't it? They didn't have the things that some of these people in Bible times had. If they had them today, they would not stay sick because we've progressed so in the worlds of medicine and the world of technology and all of these things. For instance, back in the days of World War I and World War II, even back, and that hasn't been that long ago, but back in those days, if you had tuberculosis or if you had diabetes, you were a goner. It was a death sentence. Now, many of us live with diabetes and we can manage it pretty decently through medication, diet, that type of thing. But back in those days, back even in the World War I and World War II days, if you had tuberculosis or if you had diabetes, it was just a matter of time before you were dead. Because there wasn't anything in those days you could really do for things like that. So it's no telling if some of these people were alive in this period of time, they may not have been consigned to death. But in the case of Enos, whatever he had, this palsy that he had, crippled him to the place that he was in bed 8 years. Very discouraging. Very discouraging. But then there is Dorcas. And Dorcas is sick also, verse 37. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick. But her sickness was a little more stringent than the sickness of Enos. Because Enos has been sick and in bed, bedfast, crippling of some kind, 8 years, but this woman gets sick and dies. Isn't that unusual? Do you think sometimes you figure people out? You know what I mean by that? Have you ever seen people that are sick most of their life? A mate is sick and then the other mate takes care of them, and you think, well, it's not going to be long that the one that's sick is going to pass away, and then all of a sudden the one that's well and taken care of, that one passes first. You just don't know what's going to happen. Things like that happen. And so all of a sudden she's sick and then she dies. Okay? Now they have needs. These are some rough needs. Everybody has needs. Every person. Timeless truth. Everybody has needs. You have a need today. You have a need. It could be a multitude of needs. You could be here today and you're having financial problems. That's a need, no doubt about it. You could be here and you have health problems. It's a need. You could be here and you have home problems. Something's going on in the house. Pretty tough. You may be here and you've got about any kind of needs you can think of. You can, whatever those needs may be, but they're legitimate needs, whatever they are. Okay? And there's something that's going to keep you on your knees. There's something that's going to keep you on your face before God, whatever it may be. You may have lost loved ones, and they're a burden because you want to see those lost loved ones come to know Jesus Christ. That is a need. But everybody has needs. Somebody said, well, preacher, why do we have to have needs? Why do we have problems? Why do we have difficulties? Because I hate to say it, and as much as I hate to say it, it's a reality. But if it were not for my needs, I wouldn't seek the Lord. I wouldn't. You remember the little poem that talks about basically the bottom line of the poem is the fact of the footprints on the sand, and there's two sets of footprints and then there's one set of footprints, and the person says to the Lord in a dream, said, Lord, the times that were difficult in my life, there was only one set of footprints. Why did you leave me? Why did you forsake me? And the Lord said, no, my precious child, it was not that I forsook you, it's the times that I picked you up and carried you. And that's very true. It's very true. And there are times where we just have to come to the realization where there's a need. We have a need in our lives. And these two people faced in their day probably two of the most serious problems and needs that anybody could face. What's your need today? Understand that you have one. That's very important too. An alcoholic, for instance, can never receive help till he knows he's an alcoholic. A drug addict can never get help until he realizes he's a drug addict. And there are people that are sin sick without the Lord, brother buddy, as we well know, and you can't seem to talk to them and help them to understand that they need Jesus. Needs are everywhere. Now, timeless truth number two is this. Not only do people have needs, but Christians have help. Christians have help. What is the common denominator between the two of these people, Enos and Dorcas? Well, one is, of course, that they have a need. But secondly, there is a person that comes to the help of each one of them, and his name is Peter. Peter is a Christian. Peter is an apostle. Peter is a preacher. And as he is ministering, word comes to the people who are friends of Enos that Peter is in town. Verse 33 says, Peter passed through all the quarters. He came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Enos, sick in his bed for 8 long years. And Peter said to him, Enos, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. He said, I don't know how to help you other than I point you to Jesus. Now, let's go to the next person. Let's go to Dorcas, a little bit more in the story of Dorcas. Because when word gets around that Peter is over here in this region helping Enos, they said, I wonder if he can help Dorcas. But before they can actually get him there, she dies. And so when he gets to Joppa, he is brought by the friends to the home of Dorcas. And now by this time, as we say, Dorcas is sick. But we learn some things about her. A little bit different because Enos, not a lot said about him. But the interesting thing, one of the interesting things about her is the fact that she is a disciple. She's a believer. We're not sure if Enos is a believer or not. It's not told to us, but I believe this. But I believe before Peter left, he became a believer if he wasn't one. I believe that. And so, as he goes in and they find out that Dorcas has passed away, one thing we learn is she's a disciple. Verse 36, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. Can works save us? No. But do you know how you can know that you're a Christian and a believer? I believe this. I believe that people will see things about our lives that will manifest Christ. The Lord Jesus said, let your light so shine among men that they may see your good works. And they saw the good works of Dorcas because she did things for other people. Caleb likes that little song we sang at Christmas, J-O-Y, J-O-Y. This is what it means. Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. And that's the ministry. That's why the Lord has put us here. If you want to boil this thing down, do you know why you're here today? Do you know why you're on earth? You're on earth for others. But maybe you never thought about that, but you're here for others. To point others to Jesus Christ. To encourage one another. We've got to encourage one another. I don't know why the things are that's going on in our country. I don't know why all of the chaos that's going on. It seems like many of the values that we hold dear as Christians are being challenged. I never thought I would hear the things that I'm hearing on the television and on the radio about our country. The things that you read on the internet about the threats that are being made to take away our values. Our values concerning Christian emphasis, the church. We cannot pray in our schools. We're having an issue right now over gun control. You go on and take this thing as many ways as you want to. I never thought that some of these things that we consider to be liberties and privileges are being challenged by our very government, and it's frightening and it's scary. But I'll tell you what, it boils down to this, any way you cut it, we have needs. Our country is in need. We are in need. And we need to pray, and we need to pray for these various things. And so here is a woman who you can see in her life the manifested presence of Christianity. She is full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And if you have the light of Jesus, I believe with all my heart that you're going to let the light of Jesus shine through your life. At least that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray, God, help me to be a light. Help me to be some salt that may attract people to the cause of Jesus Christ. How very important that is. You're the only epistle that anybody will ever read. Paul talked about that in the Bible. Living epistles read of men. You're going to be the only Bible. Now, you hand people Bibles, and I believe you should. Give people Bibles. Amen. But you know what? You can't guarantee they'll pick them up and read them. But I'll tell you what they'll read. They'll read your life and mine. And hopefully they'll have a desire to listen and to come to Jesus. And so she passes away. She has a great testimony. Again, verse 37, she's sick, she passes away, and they laid her in an upper chamber. That's very strange. They've taken her to, I guess, like a top floor, and they put her in a wake situation, as we understand it when we go to funeral homes. And it says that the disciples found out about Peter in verse 38, went to go get him to come, but it was too late. Verse 39, and Peter arose and went with them, and when he was come, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood by weeping. Why were they weeping? Because of the great testimony that she had. Do you know why you and I weep at funerals? Do you know why we weep when people die? Because we miss them. Just that simple. We miss them. Can I go a step farther and say that with that missing also comes a selfishness? Because I want to be with them. I don't want to see people that I love die. I want them to stay. But if it's time to go, I dare not stand between the will of God for their lives and my own selfishness. And here is a woman that this time it was time to go. And they grieved, and well they should, because it spoke again highly of this woman. Highly of this woman. They even went around while they were crying. They said, look at this. She loved me so much. Look what she made. She made this garment for me. She made this coat for me. And they were showing off her good works. Do you ever find things in your closet or someplace in your maybe chest of drawers, and it's something from a loved one that's passed on and you didn't realize you still had it? What did that get to you? Do you throw it away? My mother passed away in 1991. She passed away. And I found a letter she wrote to me about the time, I think it was about the time that my wife and I got married. And she was physically not well, and she was not able to come to Florida to our wedding. And she wrote me a letter, and I found that letter. And I've kept that letter, because I don't guess I have too many of those letters. But it was just something that is like, you know, I'm not going to get rid of that, because that's one of the few things that I have left that I got from my mother that had that personal touch to it. We keep those things. These people kept these garments and these coats because who made them? Dorcas made. The impact. Hear me to this morning. The impact that that woman made on other people's lives. What kind of impact do you and I make on people's lives? Remember what I said, Christians have help. We have something to offer people. Do we understand that we have something to offer people? Do we understand that we have something that lost people, whether they want to admit it or not, they want it. They may not admit they want it, but way down deep inside they do. Because the time may come where they need help and they need assistance, and guess what? You might be the person they come to because they saw your garments. They saw your clothes that you made. Oh, I say that symbolically, because you say, well, I don't do that. That's not what I'm saying. They've seen your light. They've seen your good works. They've seen what you've done. And they said, you know, I need help. Who can I go to? Wow, wait a minute. I watch every day at work. I watch so-and-so pray over his or her food. I believe I'll go talk to them. I believe I'll go speak to them. And they'll come to you, and they don't know you from Adam, maybe. And it may be times that they ridicule you and make fun of you. But, buddy, when they need help, they're not going to go see their cussing and drinking buddies, I'll tell you that. They need something better than that. And they'll come to find you. Why? Because Christians have help to give people. You and I have something to give people. D.L. Moody said that the gospel, witnessing the gospel, is like this. It's one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. And that's exactly right. And Christians have help, and you and I have something to offer people if we would. People have needs. Christians have help. Third thing, Christ has answers. We're living in a day in which people are so confused, aren't they? I made this statement one time, and it's so very true. I've seen it on the computer, I see it on the internet, I see it on Facebook. And I see this, that what characterizes this nation, sadly, is hostility. People are angry. And things that are going on, as I just touched on a few moments ago in Washington, D.C., people are getting angrier. People are getting mad. People are getting angry. People are getting fretful. And you know what? To a point, it's true. Maybe they have a right to be, because are people being pushed to their full limitations? I can't help but feel like they are. But in the story of Enos, what did he say in verse 34? What did Peter say to Enos? He said, Jesus Christ
maketh thee whole. There's your answer. There's your answer.
Somebody mentally troubled? Jesus is the answer. Somebody has reached the bottom of the barrel? Jesus is the answer. Somebody is facing the most difficult trials of their life? Jesus is the answer. He said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Nobody can do that but Jesus. I saw something on TV not long ago, and you've probably seen it too, and I just be honest with you, I laughed about it. I thought it was funny. This very professional woman gets on TV and she says, do you have trouble? Have you had trouble with your children? Have you had trouble with your teenagers? And they don't want to do this and they want to say, and all this. And she gets on there and she says, now, she says, my husband and I have worked all these years and we've got, and it shows, I guess her husband sitting and talking with the teenager and the mama and talking about sitting and rationalizing all this thing out. And I'm thinking, you rationalize it out, honey, all you want to, but if you don't give them Jesus, what you have to say is just a lot of hot air. You got to give them Jesus. Spurgeon said it didn't matter what a preacher preached on as long as at the end of his sermon he headed for Calvary. That's right. Jesus is the answer for all our needs. And he said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, arise and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. Well, then when Peter is with Dorcas, the people are weeping. And the Bible says that he puts them out. And he gets them out and he closes the door. And he goes, and the Bible says that he knelt down and he prayed. And when he prayed, God answered his prayer and brought Dorcas back to life. I've told you before that I get a big kick out of this faith healer, Ernest Angley, you know. And I listened to him the other day, and buddy, he broke all the barriers. Less than 15 minutes, he told so many whoppers. He said, one of the things that he believes is sinless perfection. He believes that you can be sinless. Man, he lied. So that took care of that one. Now, I tell you two things he lied about. Ernest Angel's old country boy from North Carolina. He's not from Ohio originally, where his ministry is, but he's from North Carolina. And he's still got that southern twang to his voice, even though he lives up in the Akron area. But he talked about how that he was in a service one day and that there were some scholarly people there and God helped him to preach his entire sermon in the Hebrew language. I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, I don't know if you'd know Hebrew if it was brought up in the front of your face. But I'm thinking, that just isn't right. He did that. That fellow has no ability to have this miraculous gift of speaking the Hebrew language. Then the second thing was, he said, you know, I've been in many services in which we've raised the dead. I'm thinking, the only thing you're raising a bunch of malarkey. That's all you're raising. And I listened to all of that, and I couldn't believe all. And then he was talking about at the end of the later on, says, well, you need to send us your tithes and offerings. And I'm going, okay, that's four strikes against you right there, bud. And so I listened to that, and I'm going, you know, I just don't understand. Because this thing of raising the dead, I'm sorry. I wish I had the power to raise the dead. I'd raise everybody if I could. Not for the sake of the fact that those people that are died have gone on to a better place, but again, the grief and the heartache and the sorrow of the people that are present. In this particular case, God did answer the prayer of Peter and did raise Dorcas from the ground, from the dead. And Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up. All in the name of the Lord Jesus. All in the power of God. Jesus has the answer. To you today, Jesus has your answer. Now the problem is, I don't know how long it's going to take God to answer our prayers in showing us those things, but that's with the Lord. I wish I could just say, all right, Lord, I need this to be done right now. It needs to be done. But you know what? That's in God's timing, and I don't understand all of that. There's a lot of things I don't understand. But I can understand this, that amidst all the problems, trials, tribulations, difficulties, heartbreak, and sorrow, Jesus is still the answer. There is none other. There is none other. What good is it going to do you to go back to the world? Many people go back to the world. Why? What's the world got to offer? Somebody says, well, I've been hurt in the church, or I've been hurt living a Christian life. Well, okay, go on back to the devil. He was so good to you the first time, he tried to wreck your life and destroy you. That's okay, go back to him. That's a facetious statement. You have nothing to go back to. You need to go to Jesus. He's the answer. Timeless truth number one, people have needs. Every one of us sitting here today, everybody you meet has a need. Number two, Christians have help. Christians are, we're why we're still here. Somebody says, why? You know, when we get saved, why didn't God just take us to heaven? Because God's left you here to help somebody. And can I even go so far as to say this, that whoever God has left you on this earth to help, you're the only one that probably can help them. Lord, show me today. There's somebody concerning whose path you may allow me to cross. God, help me to understand the fact that I can help them, that I can be a blessing to them. Bring them across my path, and then when you bring them across my path, Lord, help me to understand in my mind that this is the person or people or families that you want me to help. Because sometimes God brings those very people into our lives and we have blinders and we don't always see that God has brought somebody in our path to help. God, give me perception to know that the people that you bring across my path, maybe I can help somebody. Call it mentoring, call it whatever you want to. But God brings people across your path and you and I can help them because Christians have help. Third timeless truth I gave you was Christ has answers. Only Jesus can satisfy the longing of the human heart. Fourth and last thing, faith has results. Faith has results. Look at verse 35. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him. Saw who? Saw Enos. Enos has been healed. And Enos is up and walking around. Because isn't it interesting what Peter said? Peter said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, verse 34, and make thy bed. Make your bed. Get up out of that bed and make it, and don't go back to it other than to sleep at night. Jesus is your answer. Jesus is the one. And you know, when Jesus helps us, let's not go back to what He has delivered us from. If He has protected us, if He's brought us out, then thank God for it, and don't belabor the point and don't go back to it. Move forward. We need to move forward in our Christian walk. And then when she rises up, she sees him in the life of Dorcas. Peter goes, brings everybody in. They're amazed. They're shocked. Verse 42, and it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. See, verse 35, turn to the Lord. Verse 42, many believed in the Lord. If you have the faith to serve God, some of you here today probably have been through some tremendous trials and difficulties in your life, and you probably say, preacher, it's a miracle I'm still in church. And that's true. That's true. There's pain, there's heartache, there's suffering. We go through difficult times. We go through hardships. It's not easy. It never has been and never will be. And you may come to the place where you have actually come to the edge and you say, I'm ready to throw in the towel. I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to stop. But you say, preacher, I'm still in church. I still read my Bible. I still pray. Why do you do that? Because of that fourth principle, faith has results. And because you love Jesus, you have to love Jesus more than you love anything else. You can't love mankind in the same way, because I believe that God will always show you something about a man or a woman to show you that they are imperfect, to show them that they make mistakes, and they are not to be worshipped. You say, well, I don't worship man. Well, I know we don't worship man, but there are some people that set man so high on a pedestal that when they fall off, they get devastated and they leave the house of God. And that's no reason to leave the house of God. Because no matter how much man fails you, Jesus never will. Amen? He won't fail you. And what was the result of both stories? People believed in the Lord. People believed in the Lord. You know what? The full story of this thing isn't going to be known until you get to heaven. Like that old Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life. I like that movie because you don't even realize, if you've never watched the movie before, you don't realize until you get about 2/3 through the movie the purpose of the first part of the movie. The purpose of the first part of the movie is to show you how George took and intertwined his life in the lives of so many people in that little town. And then at the end of the movie, you find out how valuable interaction with other people are, and how that you help people that you may not have known. And you know what? When we get to heaven, we're not going to know until we stand before Him at the judgment seat of Christ. We're not going to know what all we've done down on this earth has done to help other people. I don't keep records. The reason I don't keep records is I can't know everything that may happen in my life, and hopefully and prayerfully there will be people that will one day at the judgment seat, I hope and pray, and come and say, you were a blessing, you were a help, you pointed me to the Lord, and I may never have known it down here. I think I may have shared with you that we got a Facebook notice from a young lady, married, has children. And when we were pastoring in Stuart, Virginia, she and her mother came. And then after a while, they left. But this little girl, I think, was something like, 4 or 5 years of age. And she contacted us, and she said, I've lost contact with y'all, and I haven't heard from you in a long time. And said, I saw your names on Facebook and want to know how you're doing, and let you know how much your ministry there at Calvary Baptist Church was a blessing. And she said, how is Miss Darlene? Said, she taught me how to read. And she says, I've always loved Miss Darlene. And I read that and I thought to myself, I haven't heard from that girl in over 20 years. But she found us on Facebook, and she just wanted to say thank you for investing a little bit in my life, and she remembered that. Now, if that doesn't make your day, then your day can't be made. I looked at that and I said, thank the Lord, and I let my wife read it, and what a blessing. Because, you just don't think of things like that. But here was a little girl, 4 or 5 years old, and it made an impression in her little life, and she remembered it 20 years later. God, bring some soul across my path. Help me, Lord, to point them to Jesus, and help me to help them know that help is in Jesus Christ. Faith has results. It did in these two situations. The man of God came in, God used him and blessed him, and he reached two very important people. But not only were they helped, not only were they physically healed, but there was spiritual healing that took place, because again, many turned to the Lord in verse 35, and many believed in the Lord in verse 42. And that's what it's all about. And those are 4 timeless truths you need to take with you the rest of your life. Number one, people have needs. Number two, Christians have help. Christ has answers. Faith has results. You can take that fourfold outline and apply it to any story in the Bible. Any story. And it fits every time. The pieces of those four puzzles fit every life, fit every person. You say, "Preacher, I'm so discouraged. There's somebody I'm praying for." Hey, four things. You better keep praying. Keep working. Keep loving. Sometimes, brother buddy, we talk to people and they push us away. And sometimes there's just going to have to be some tough, silent love, isn't it? Because they know. That brother knows. That brother knows. It's all right. Do all you can do, and you have to give it over to the Lord. And you pray that one day He'll realize Jesus is the answer. You pray toward that end. You work toward that end. 30-some years I prayed for my brother-in-law and sister to be saved. And I prayed for them and prayed for them and prayed for them. And you know what? They have needs. They have spiritual needs. But Jesus is the answer to every need we have. Be encouraged today. God's put you here for a purpose. You're here to help others. Ask God to help you help others. Ask God to help you to have your eyes opened that you might see others and their needs and help and pray and reach out to them and minister to them for the grace of God. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'll speak to our hearts. Encourage Your people today. And Lord, help us to be a witness and a testimony to the glory of God. We thank You and we love You. You've been good. You've been kind to us. We sure praise You for that. And I pray, Lord, that You will just go with us and direct us. And I pray, Father, for that person that's here today and hurting. And I pray, God, that You'll help them to understand that in the midst of their pain and suffering, You have them here as an instrument, as a vessel to be used to the glory of God. Thank You for the stories of Enos and Dorcas. And may we see in their lives, God, how that as Peter helped them, we can help others also. So I pray, God, that You'll direct us. Thank You for loving us. Minister to our hearts today. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hymn number
235, As We Stand, Ask Me Not. Thank you.